Live from the studios of Town Square Media in Northfield, it's Hurley in the Morning on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. 6 minutes past the hour. We've been promoting this all morning. It's a very important discussion that we'll be having over the next 30 minutes. And then really we're partnering the hour very nicely because we have the medical center director of the Wilmington, Delaware VA, Vince Kane, who's become a good friend, and they're doing great work and they're helping veterans. And there's an event tonight that we're going to promote right after Dr. Jassel and her great program today. It's my pleasure to present a distinguished doctor, Dr. Navinder Jassel, a Deborah doctor, the director of endocrinology at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And Dr. Jassel is an endocrinologist who sees patients in both Browns Mills, New Jersey, where I've been, this great, great hospital, and Mount Laurel. To make an appointment, you can go to demanddeborah.org. We have titled today's program, Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents Diabetes 101. I think it's such an important topic because I do believe as a layperson that obesity is epidemic in America today. So obviously with that comes the risk of diabetes, and there's a whole lot that we're going to cover this half hour. Let me tell you just a little bit about Dr. Jassel, who I mentioned is the director of endocrinology, specialty training, endocrinology, diabetes, and metabolism, Rutgers Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital in New Brunswick, New Jersey, triple threat, board certified, three disciplines, endocrinology, diabetes, and metabolism, obesity medicine, you know that's going to come up this half hour, internal medicine, Dr. Jassel's residency, internal medicine, Cooper University Hospital in Camden, New Jersey, and probably no surprise, special interests, diabetes, preventative medicine, osteoporosis. We welcome Dr. Jassel. Hello, doctor. Welcome to your program.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk about this topic today.
Did you buy into what I said, that I, as a layperson, that obesity is epidemic in America? We're probably more sedentary than at any time, any point in our history. I know I'm going off the script, but is obesity epidemic in America? You, as a professional director and doctor, I'm just blabbing, you know, that I think it is. What do you think about that comment?
I wholeheartedly agree. Right now, there is an epidemic, and it is obesity, and it's increasing. And unfortunately, it's increasing in our young. So that's why it's important for us as adults to really understand what it's all about so we can make a difference for the future.
Such a great comment that you just made. Such an important comment. Dr. Jassel, what is diabetes? Let's get right into it.
Yes, great question. So to keep it simple, diabetes is a lack of insulin. You may have heard of that term, but insulin is a hormone and it's made in our pancreas, which is a organ in our gut. And what that hormone does is basically the sugar that we eat, it's going to be able to use it as energy. So to think of it this way, insulin is a key which opens a door and allows sugar to go into cells. But when the key isn't working and you don't have enough insulin or you have insulin resistance, the sugar builds up in your bloodstream. And the problem is it's not supposed to be there in the blood. It's supposed to go in cells so we can have energy and do what we need to do and our body can work and function properly. So if the sugar is in our blood, it's going to cause problems. It's going to build up in places where it shouldn't, like our heart, our eyes, and our kidneys. And that's where the problem lies with diabetes.
Never heard it explained so well, so concisely as you just did, Dr. Jassel. What a memorable way to understand what I don't think many people truly understand what diabetes is, and that's why I'm so happy that you're putting this clinic on today. What is the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes? Because we do hear and read a lot about it, and again, I think a lot of folks don't know the difference. They know the phraseology, they know the words, but they really don't know the difference. What is the difference?
So the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes is the amount of insulin produced. In type 1 diabetes, the pancreas doesn't really make any insulin at all. And that's more typical in patients that are diagnosed at a younger age. Sometimes people refer to it as juvenile diabetes, but there are adults that can be diagnosed as type 1 diabetic. So it's important that if you are ever diagnosed with diabetes, that you make sure you know if you're type 1 or type 2. And type 2 diabetes is basically when you have insulin, but it's not really working the way it should, and you have more what we call insulin resistance. And insulin resistance is when your insulin is not working as well, and so your body doesn't respond. Now, the reason why it's important to know if you're type 1 or type 2 is because treatment. In type 1, you will have to take insulin injections, and in type 2, you can use insulin, but you can also take pills, so it gives you a little more options.
We are visiting with a very talented endocrinologist, a doctor, who is the director of endocrinology at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, a Deborah doctor. Dr. Jassel continues our discussion about diabetes. Just got a message from a listener, timely discussion. I've just been diagnosed with pre-diabetes, not due to being overweight. It seems to be genetic. Her mom passed away of pancreatic cancer. Father was also diabetic. Quote unquote, it says, I'm damned by my genetics. And we are going to get into family history a little bit later in the half hour. What are the symptoms of diabetes, Dr. Jassel?
So some people can be asymptomatic, especially with your listener. You know, when you're pre-diabetic, you may not even have any symptoms. And we can always talk about pre-diabetes later on. But it can be asymptomatic, so it can be found on routine blood work. But people who do have symptoms will often complain of frequent urination, waking up at night to urinate, feeling really tired or fuzzy, dry mouth, intense thirst, maybe really hungry when they've already eaten a lot, and oftentimes people will complain of blurry vision as well. Another key sign that you want to make sure that you're not having is something like frequent infections, urinary tract infections, or skin infections. So those could also be possible signs and symptoms of diabetes.
Now, I think you sort of touched on this, but we'll make it as a point of emphasis, and I think it is a standalone question as well. Pre-diabetes. Talk about that.
Yeah, so I think it's important to know about pre-diabetes because it can determine your future. You know, if you are diagnosed with pre-diabetes, it means your blood sugars are higher than normal, but not high enough to say that you're a full-blown diabetic. And pre-diabetes usually occurs to people who already have some of that insulin resistance that we talked about, or whose pancreas isn't making enough insulin to keep up with the normal blood glucose range. So why I think this is important, like pivotal point, is because if you are pre-diabetic and it isn't all just genetics and you can make changes, you may be able to prevent from progressing to diabetes. And I think that's major.
Huge.
An interesting fact, Harry,
yeah,
is that one out of every three adults in the U.S. has pre-diabetes.
Wow.
So if you don't know where you stand, you need to talk to your doctor and just run your numbers by them and ask them, am I pre-diabetic? Am I at risk for diabetes?
We're going to go to break. I just wrote that down in my day timer to keep that. That was a clarion call. One out of three. So if you're on an elevator with two other people, one of you is pre-diabetic. That was memorable. That was very listenable. The director continues, Dr. Jassel. When we come back, Dr. Jassel will address how diabetes is diagnosed. You heard some of the symptoms, but we'll further that question in just a little bit. It's Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Jassel. I am respectfully yours.
Early in the morning, WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and WPGTalkRadio.com. Download every Hurley in the Morning program as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Harry Hurley on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
What do you know? I was just talking about the WPG Talk Radio app. Simple to do. Download it. Free download. It's a great item to have. And then you have all the content of WPG Talk Radio 95.5 at your fingertips. It's my privilege to present Dr. Navinder Jassel, Deborah Doctor, the Director of Endocrinology at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, obviously an endocrinologist, I don't want to bury the lead, who sees patients in Browns Mills, New Jersey, and in Mount Laurel. To make an appointment, go to demanddeborah.org. Our topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents is Diabetes 101. And Dr. Jasso is just hitting home runs in terms of educating our listeners, and we appreciate you, Dr. Jasso, very much. How is diabetes diagnosed?
So to find out if you have type 2 or type 1 diabetes, your doctor can do a blood test. The blood test is called hemoglobin A1C, or a lot of the times we just refer to it as A1C. The good thing about the test is that it can be checked any time of the day. You don't have to be fasting. If you've eaten, you can still get your blood drawn and get it done.
That's good.
Patients who have prediabetes have an A1C level between 5.7% and 6.4%. Anything above that, we consider as diabetes.
You know, I think about the old days, and if your cholesterol, blood cholesterol, if you were under 200, nobody said, oh, but your good cholesterol is too low and your bad cholesterol is too high. If you were under 200, you were good to go. We know that's not the case now. And that's a good thing. We're more precise. You could be under 200, and like I just said, your good cholesterol could be low and your bad cholesterol could be high, and there could be an issue to deal with even though you're under 200 or under 190, whatever. With blood sugar, for example, and I'm not a doctor, obviously, so I might be slightly off on this, but if you're either like under 100 or under 90, whatever it is, that isn't the whole story, is it?
No, it's not the whole story. So you, depending on what meds you're on and your family history and your medical problems, that's kind of how we determine your goal blood sugars. So a lot of the time, if you have a blood sugar over 126 frequently on routine blood tests, that might clue us in that there's a problem. But getting an A1C gives us an average of your blood sugar for the last 3 months. So that's why it's the gold standard nowadays. But you have to talk to your doctor to see what your goals are for your sugars, and they're going to vary for different times of the day. So your morning numbers, you want them to be lower, and then after you eat, we know there's going to be a normal rise in sugar, so they may be a little higher at that time.
And Dr. Jasso, responding to your presentation, our listener, and she's really very, very great listener of the program, very loyal listener of the program, wrote that thirst and fatigue caused me to go to my doctor. He checked my sugar and bingo, 325. A1C has to be managed, she wrote, which is just what you were talking about. So you've done a great job telling our listeners what diabetes is, the difference between diabetes types 1 and 2. The symptoms and pre-diabetes and how it's diagnosed. Now we get to, you've been diagnosed and you know your fate. What is the treatment for diabetes? And as a follow-up, how is treatment determined? How do you come about the strategy?
So the treatment for diabetes is not only to control your blood sugar, but controlling your blood sugar means it's going to lower your risk of future problems that can happen with diabetes. And we know that as heart attack, stroke, kidney disease, eye disease, foot infections. So when we think about treatment, that's our goal. We want to make sure we're minimizing those bad things that can happen from being a diabetic. I always first focus on managing diabetes with lifestyle. I don't always like to jump to meds, and I think a lot of physicians are like that, because when we educate our patients on what you should be eating, what you can eat, what type of physical activity you need to be doing, and how often, it really gives them a lot of power to maybe improve their diabetes without meds. If that doesn't work or your body doesn't allow it because the disease process has already taken place, there are lots of great medications out there that control blood sugar. We have several different kinds of pills that we can use. We have injections that are not insulin, but other hormones that can help with weight loss as well as improving your blood sugar. And then if needed, we also have insulin, which works very well. The biggest part about treating a diabetic is we have to individualize the care. So we have to see what kind of lifestyle that you have, what other medical problems that you have as well. So based on that, we can determine what pills or what injections or if you need insulin.
Dr. Jassel, wild card question. Do you find that because diabetes doesn't ravage someone rapidly, like right away, that many people, because they feel okay and they just don't take it as serious as they should, and then this is sort of like an accumulation award over time, suddenly you can have, you know, the problems with eyesight or having amputations of toes and different things like that. Do you find that because it's slow moving that it can get ignored by the patient?
100%. And that's why I alluded to some of the symptoms as being asymptomatic, that it's important to know if you're diabetic, because a lot of the time you don't feel symptoms. Yeah. You're not always like your listener that had those symptoms that were very severe. So a lot of my patients that do take it seriously may have had a relative that unfortunately had to get dialysis or an amputation of their foot. And so they've seen the side effects of untreated diabetes, and, or, you know, people that are listening today, they're going to learn that, okay, wow, I really got to understand this disease and I really got to help myself. So sometimes it is a little bit of a work in progress, but if you can at least routinely see your physician and you can have this dialogue with them, then you're more likely to improve your diabetes, even if at first it's not a priority.
You touched on something about 20 minutes ago that I thought was so important with respect to if you are pre-diabetic. Can you, if you do the right things, if you eat well and you do the right things and you keep your weight, you know, as best you can, you know, because we're only human, but if you really focus on this, could you keep diabetes at bay for your entire life?
Yes, I think that a lot of patients, depending on their disease process, have a lot of power over their disease. And I think that's really important, because I feel like when you get diagnosed with something, you feel powerless. But the great thing about diabetes is doing a little healthy eating, having some physical activity in your life routinely can make a huge difference on your diabetes. So it may not do everything, but it may reduce your risk of progressing from pre-diabetes to diabetes, or you may need less medication, whereas if you weren't doing those things, you may have needed insulin injections. So it is relative, but I think you do have a lot of power.
I have asked this in past episodes on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents about, if you are diabetic, are you a diabetic for life, or can it be reversed to where you would not be a diabetic? Dr. Jassel, what's your response to that?
I don't like to use the term reverse. I like to use the term controlled with lifestyle, because once you have diabetes and that pre-diabetes that's starting, it's that disease process has already taken place in the body. So I think by saying that you're diabetic and well-controlled, I think it gives the patient a reminder that they still need to get checked every once in a while, make sure things are not progressing, because even with doing those healthy activities and eating healthy, the disease process can still progress.
To make an appointment with Dr. Jassel, you can go to the Browns Mills, New Jersey office, Mount Laurel, New Jersey office. To make an appointment, go to demanddeborah.org. The topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents with Dr. Jassel, director, endocrinologist, great doctor, is diabetes 101. This is also, I think, big time important for you to address. What are some of the risk factors?
Some of the risk factors for being diabetic include being overweight, not getting enough physical activity, having a close family member with diabetes, and that's typically parents or sibling. A lot of genetic predispositions are there with different ethnicities. And if you're a female and you had diabetes during pregnancy, called gestational diabetes, which usually gets better after you deliver, you are at higher risk for developing diabetes later in life.
To Bridget, our listener, if you have a family history of diabetes, are you more likely to get it yourself?
If you have a family history of diabetes, you are likely to get it. However, I think it's complex when it comes to genetics. Our genetics play a role with our environment. So if our environment is full of processed foods or not enough activity, I think you're more likely to get diabetes, but it's not 100%. But I think if you have the genetics for it and you have a family history, it's important to be screened and to take preventative measures.
As a standalone question, even though this obviously infiltrated several other discussions we were having, what can be done to reduce the risk of developing diabetes?
This is my favorite question because you're being proactive. And so what I tell my patients is when it comes to healthy eating, you have to eat carbs. You have to eat sugar. It's okay. But it's about how much you have and it's about the quality. And we know that, Harry. We know that a glass of soda is not going to be as good as an apple. They both have carbs. They both have sugar. But you know you can make a better decision, right?
Yes.
So limiting your carbs, meeting with a dietitian to see how many carbs is best for you is very important. Having protein with most of your meals, a lot of veggies, and also eating in that order, eating your protein and veggies first and having your carbs last makes a difference on your sugars. The other important thing is the physical, sorry.
No, you go, please.
Yeah, the physical activity component is also very important. So getting 150 minutes of cardiac exercise. So you're kind of walking at a brisk rate where you can't have a conversation with someone. You're going to be a little huffing and puffing. And also getting in strength training. A lot of us focus on cardio-based activity, but strength training with gaining muscle mass is important. I always tell people gaining a pound of muscle is equal to a dose of medication I can give you. That muscle is going to eat up any extra sugar in the bloodstream, and it's going to decrease your insulin resistance.
Wow. I felt compelled to jump in because I wanted to get your reaction to, it's like from, we'll say from the cruel and unusual department, that so many things that people crave pasta and bread and things like that. And yet the things that are the best for you, you don't seem to have cravings for. So it does require some discipline, doesn't it?
It does. It definitely does. But I think it's important to allow yourself to enjoy within reason. So if you want to have pasta, Harry, have it. Don't have it every day and maybe go for a walk afterwards, but have it. Enjoy.
See, I think that's the answer. If you get told you can't have the things you love at all, it's like a rebellion. You don't want to live like that. It's like a food prison or something. But if you get told, hey, look, you can have it. You know, you can have a dessert. You can, but don't have it every day. Don't have the pasta every day and heavy bread every day. I love the way that you give people hope that they can still treat themselves, but just not to excess. And this is the tough love portion of the program, and not that we want to, you know, scare people straight or anything like that, but we have to be real about this. What if diabetes is left untreated?
Well, at Deborah, we see a lot of patients with heart attacks and strokes because of uncontrolled diabetes, and we know that higher sugars puts you at higher risk for these events happening. We also see a lot of kidney disease, so needing dialysis, vision problems. Diabetes can lead to even blindness. And you can also develop neuropathy, which is numbness and tingling in your feet, which can be very uncomfortable.
And finally, final question, and if you have any type of final statement you want to make, the time will be yours, Doctor. Dr. Jassel, why should someone see an endocrinologist?
If your diabetes is difficult to control and you're not at goal within 6 months or so, I think it's important to talk to an endocrinologist to see what are the other options out there. My goal as an endocrinologist is to look at you as a whole. We don't want to just reduce your sugars, but we want to make sure, are you sleeping okay? How's your stress level? What's your weight like? Is your blood pressure okay? We want to look at you as a whole. So I think it's important if you're not at goal within a couple months to talk to an endocrinologist. And I'd like to let your listeners know that if they want more information, they should check out www.diabetes.org, which is the American Diabetes Association website. They have a lot of great information out there that is supported by data. So if you have questions after listening to us, please go on there and learn for yourself.
Breaking news, Dr. Jassel, you are awesome. What a great presentation. Dr. Jassel sees patients in Browns Mills, New Jersey, and in Mount Laurel. You can make an appointment with Dr. Jassel at demanddebora.org, and that puts a cap on Diabetes 101. You are a delight. I hope that we treated you well, and you were so helpful. Thank you, Dr. Jassel.
Thank you, Harry. Take care.
You have a great day, too.